Okay. Only 10 more presents to wrap. You're almost at the finish line. But first... There. The last one. Enjoy a Coca-Cola for a pause that refreshes.
If you're a smoker or vapor ready to make a change, you really only need one good reason. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you'll discover many good reasons. Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch brand. Plus, Zyn offers a robust rewards program. There are lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Check out Zyn.com/find to find Zyn at a store near you. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Moving teams means lots of change and lots of challenges. Adapting to a new car, competing against a new teammate, building relationships with new engineers, pretty much everything is different. But what does remain the same for Esteban Ocon at Haas are the reasons he loves to go racing.
I race because first I had no choice. That was the thing that would save me and my family, really. So now I just take it all in. I'm happy to be here. I'm smiling, you know, every time I come to the paddock. And I just love to take the car out and push it to the maximum I can and make everyone in the team, you know, happy. I race because I love cars. You know, I like to fight others. I like to have close, you know, wheel-to-wheel battles. I race because I don't pay for tires or brakes.
Here on F1 Beyond the Grid, with me, Tom Clarkson, Esteban tells me how he's settling into life at Haas, what it's like working with new race engineer Laura Muller, and why he and team principal Ayo Komatsu go back a long way. Esteban also talks about his obsession with cars, how he mastered driving in the wet, why he's becoming a bit of a movie star, and how he felt about his dramatic Alpine exit at the end of 2024. Esteban, how are you? It's been 3 years since you were last on the show. You're looking well.
Thank you very much, Tom. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here with you once again. We're talking about the good memories just before off cameras, you know, of the first Beyond the Grid that we did. It was 2018, yeah, or that 2017 was in a truck, and there was no cameras back then.
No.
So you've upgraded a little bit.
We have upgraded, because I tell you what it is. We want to see you in your new threads, the new colors. You look good in red.
Thank you very much. I appreciate. Yeah, I think it suits me well, very well.
So well, you've always been a fan of red, haven't you? I'm reminded of your karting career.
Exactly. I've always been a fan of reds, always looked after Michael, so... You know, there's some Ferrari in my car, which, you know, I'm very happy. And it's obviously great to be, you know, wearing the Haas colors. I'm glad about the helmet colors as well. It suits well the car.
Let's talk about the here and now, first of all. It's early days. What are your first impressions of Haas?
First impression of the teams, I would say a big family, really. You know, this team really has welcomed me in such a way that I just felt at home, you know, straight away. It's really, you know, a fresh start for me. I feel, you know, that I'm integrating super well, you know, with everyone. And everyone is hungry and motivated to deliver. You know, they are proud of everything that they do, you know, when they do it well. And that's great, because if you're not proud of the job you do... then there's no point of doing it. And it's honestly fantastic, you know, to be part of such a team and to be, you know, able hopefully to progress further this year.
How would you describe the vibe here at Haas? Is it closer to Force India than Mercedes and Alpine, just because it's smaller?
There is some of that as an atmosphere, you know, the family kind of feel, you know, it's very much like the Force India days. But it doesn't feel... small, you know, this team feels like a big team in a way of what they're achieving. When we need something, you know, it comes, you know, quicker than what I've been experiencing in the past. And yes, for sure. I mean, Ayo could tell you a lot of things about, you know, where we could improve, but it doesn't feel like we are small, because the quality of the job that's been done is very impressive. And to me, you know, there is doesn't feel like we lack, you know, that, or we lack people, because probably, you know, everybody's trying to accommodate me in the best way possible.
Tell us more about the challenge for a driver when he's changing teams.
It's a big challenge, especially when you get through a period where you spend 5 years with the same team. You know, 5 years in Formula One terms is, you know, feels like forever. You know, in 5 years, everything changes, you know, regulations. People have forgotten, you know, 5 years ago how things were. And there is a routine that comes and, you know, a language that can seem normal. And suddenly you change team and everything, you know, has to be different. You need to redo these kind of connections and make them feeling normal. Yeah, it's a big change. That's what we've been working on a lot over the winter to try and make the transition smooth. But for example, you know, when I drove in Abu Dhabi for the first time, I felt lost. You know, the steering wheel was completely different. The feeling of the car was different. I was sitting extremely low. I had a lot of space, you know, in the car. And yeah, it felt very odd to start with. But, you know, it didn't take long before it, you know, felt like home.
You mentioned it at the Abu Dhabi test. You were sitting very low.
Yes.
But you're a tall guy. That must be quite difficult to get you low in the car.
I'm a tall guy, but throughout the years, you know, the car have become bigger. And I've experienced that this car is the biggest one I've ever been in yet. So I feel without, you know, I fit without issues, you know, in that car.
Is that the first time in your career that you fit?
Not really. It would be a lie to say that this is, but it's where I had the most flexibility of choosing where I wanted to sit, you know. So I've decided to go as lowest as I could from where I was supposed to sit. And I went to the Fernando style, you know, so like that, basically. And then figure out if that was possible to drive or not. And turns out it was possible.
How difficult is it when you're lying down to drive?
It's quite difficult because the vision is a lot lower for sure. But it's a very comfortable position. You know, my knees, they clear. Everything is obviously legal. But it was, a bit of a change in direction, you know, I wanted to take. And we're able to take it. So that's very good.
I'd love to get your thoughts on something that Lando Norris said, actually, in Monza last year. He said the driving bit is the easy bit in Formula One. It's everything else that makes it hard.
Yes.
Would you agree with Lando?
Yeah, I agree with Lando. I think if you drive the car, there's, you know, you drive the car. Yes. I think within 2/10, you can put the whole field, you know, just driving the car. But it's down to all the little details, you know, the diff mapping, the engine braking, the brake mapping, you know, all the setup of your car, you know, the aero platform, how you develop it. I mean, we are pretty much engineers now. that's how complicated it has become. And to get that right, it's a big headache, for sure. Yeah, I didn't think, you know, being, you know, an F1 driver was going to be sitting in a chair and looking at numbers for a whole weekend straight, you know, in front of a laptop. I thought you jumped in the car and you could show, you know, who was the best out there. But it's a bit more than that, yeah.
Let's talk about how it's gone so far this year. It's been a bit of a yo-yo, a bit of a roller coaster. I mean, Melbourne was difficult. Then you have that sensational P5 in China. Then it looked, at least from the outside, that Japan was difficult again. What are the strengths and weaknesses of this Haas?
Yeah, I think we need to get a bit more consistency, you know, in how we managed to optimize the weekend. Melbourne was extremely difficult and quite a shock for all of us in the team. I don't think any one of us expected that weekend to be, you know, so tough. We were not thinking we were going to be the quickest, but we were not thinking we were going to be the last. And last by a long way. And that was really a scary one. The following 3 days, we didn't sleep much. We didn't eat much. It was not a very comfortable one. But we managed to really stick together and turn the performance around, which I didn't think was going to be possible. I thought it was going to take, you know, quite a lot of time to be able to figure out, you know, what went wrong. And in 3 days on a sprint weekend, I didn't think that this was going to be possible. But we really optimized the car well. It was a very poor Friday. Again, difficult to get around the car, similar to how it was in Melbourne. And then we changed the whole car for Saturday, and the car just came alive. It was amazing to drive. It was only P11, you know, in qualifying, but we were just getting to know how the car was feeling. And then in the race, it was it just came alive, yeah, completely. And we were able to do some overtakes, you know, fight with quick cars and just get a double point finish for the team. It was, yeah, very special and quite a weight off the shoulders.
Without giving away any of the family secrets, what did you change on the Friday night of China that transformed it so much?
If you put the car, you know, into 100%, I think 85% of the car was different, you know, from Friday to Saturday. Setup, parts, everything. Well, it just went all in.
You go, it almost smacks of desperation. Look, what we're doing here.
No, it was not desperation. It was not desperation. That's the thing. You know, it was, there was all a whole world of science behind it, because there've been people looking, you know, from both factories and, okay, this is not working. This, maybe we should go that direction. What do you think, Esteban, this is going to do? I think we could do that. Okay. But in all the departments, different ones, you know, aero, mechanical, suspension, mapping, you know, all has been working well in the right direction. And we've optimized what we had in hands.
And we haven't been helped maybe with all the tarmac that's been new or entirely new in China, partly new in Japan. We've got the new tire compounds this year. Although everyone's saying, oh, the regulations are quite old now, it feels like there's still quite a lot that's new this year. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. There is a lot of little, you know, variables that come in, you know, that we didn't necessarily think about, you know, like the new tarmac in China, like half of the new tarmac, Suzuka, these new tires, of course. But, you know, this we've been able to test them also last year. So far, yeah, it seems like there's been a lot of new things coming. And especially with me coming into a new team, you know, the less new things there are, the better it is.
Now, IO carved up the race team over the winter here. There are a lot of new faces in the garage. Are you proud of the way everybody's approached the year?
Yes, I think so. I think so. Honestly, you know, the response into some of the difficulties that we faced and how quickly, you know, the people have been able to react, it's something I've never seen before. You know, to come up with an update after two races from something that we've had the diagnostic after the first race. So it's something that, you know, is incredible as a turnaround. And even Nayao, you know, has been very impressed of how we've managed to be able to do that. So he's a clear leader, you know, of this team. It's been very impressive. Also, the technical side, you know, he still has an eye on it and has a very good view on where we should move forward. And it's exactly what we need at the moment. And this team has clearly, you know, shown huge progress, you know, since IO has joined at the lead. And it's great to see.
You have a special bond with IO, don't you? And tell me if I'm wrong, but did he engineer you on your first ever F1 test back in 2014?
Yes.
Well, was it Valencia?
Valencia. I drove the Kimi's car, I think it was. The one where I drove Abu Dhabi and won. And then I did my first FP1 with him as well in 2014 in Abu Dhabi. But even before that, you know, if you come back into 2011 or 2010, I remember we are with Gwen together, Gwen Lagrue, who's in charge of the Mercedes Young Driver Program. I went there with him, and there was like a 12-hour endurance race with F1 teams, you know, just taking part of this race. And Ayao was there and racing, and I was part of the Lotus team. And that's the first time we met, you know, in 2011.
Were you teammates?
We teammates, yeah. We were a teammate. And I remember him. I was not speaking very good English, and people were calling me Mowgli because I had long hair. But I remember him.
Mowgli as in the Jungle Book.
The Jungle, right, yeah. Jungle Book, yeah. I was probably 35 kilos at the time, so I was very fast in the go-kart. I remember he was the only one who came to me and said, Esteban, how do you take this corner? Do you take a little bit the curb to prepare the next one? And that will stick forever, because I was much quicker than everyone in that corner, and no one really asked me, you know, how they could do it in the team, you know. But he was the one coming and asking me, you know, to try and gain something out of it.
Inquisitive mind.
Exactly.
Once an engineer, always an engineer.
Yeah, right? For sure, but yeah. An incredible engineer.
Has IO changed a lot since then, or do you still see the same guy now?
I see the same competitive person I've seen. He's probably the most competitive guy I've ever met, and I think we share that, you know, together. You know, since our first chat last year about me joining the team, you know, that has been, something that we really stick together.
If you're a smoker or vapor ready to make a change, you really only need one good reason. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you'll discover many good reasons. Reasons like Zyn nicotine pouches are still America's number one choice for smoke-free, hands-free nicotine satisfaction. Or because you can choose between 10 varieties, each available in either 3 or 6 milligrams of nicotine satisfaction. Or even because Zyn offers a robust rewards program full of premium items and experiences. How's that for good reasons? Now, if you're still unsure whether Zyn is the right change for you, there's only one way to find out. Check out Zyn.com/find to find Zyn at a store near you. You have a lot of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
There's more to come from Esteban in a moment, but I just wanted to tell you about F1's other official podcasts. Once my chat with Esteban's finished, why not listen to F1 Nation's review of the Bahrain Grand Prix? We're joined by Oscar Piastri's manager, Mark Webber, to reflect on his statement win in Sakhir. That's out now. And this week's F1 Explains is a Q&A session with F1 TV's Laura Winter and James Hinchcliffe. That's available from Friday. Can we talk about Laura Müller, your new race engineer this year?
That's the checkered flag, Esteban. You're P8. Well done. Really well done.
Yes! Yes!
Thank you, Brad.
Very well done. And sorry for all my talking.
All good, Laura. All good.
Her first full-time position in Formula One. How are you two rubbing along together?
Yeah, I mean, it's been great, you know, to work with Laura. You know, she's really a great engineer. You know, she's been having a lot of experience in a lot of different categories. You know, she's done DTM, I've done DTM, so we have that point in common. But she did a lot of different categories, and, you know, her trajectory is very impressive. She's awesome to work with. The amount of hours she puts in is very, very impressive. Like, she doesn't count hours. She, on a quali day, I remember in Suzuka, you know, we had obviously a difficult one, but we were still having, you know, like meetings and debrief, and we went on, you know, work, because it was not, you know, the way we wanted, you know, to have the performance. And she didn't, you know, stand up to take a sandwich or a drink for probably the whole day. And she was like, Esteban, I will probably go and take food now, because it's 7:30 or 8 in the evening. And I'm like, you didn't eat yet? And she's like, no, because, you know, she didn't want to, because she was flat out with work. And we have a great team here. You know, my performance engineer Sasha as well, he's new this year in the team. He's coming from Formula 2. They make a great team. They are my biggest support, obviously, and it's awesome to be, you know, sticking together.
I imagine they are relying on your experience, at least in these early stages. You've got, what is it, 160 Grand Prix now under your belt. You're at the grand old age of 28, which I think makes you the 6th oldest driver in Formula 1.
Thank
now.
You, Tom. Yeah. Thank you. Can you remind us how old you are?
I can't count that high anymore. I refuse to count that high nowadays. But do you know what? I read an interview with Laura in which she said her interest in engineering was properly sparked during a gap year in Australia, when she started working on sort of supercharged cars and some quite random stuff in Australia. And it made me think, do you and her share a passion for cars, not just Formula One cars?
I think we do. We do. In the end, you know, you can't be in this world, you know, without liking what we are working on. You know, there is, you know, some sparks in there that, you know, we enjoy, you know, being, you know, surrounded by, you know, powerful cars, quick cars.
I had visions of you two going to Liberty Walk while we were in Japan last week and just looking at some sort of really random...
I think we could have done, but unfortunately we didn't have time. But
you were too busy doing donuts in a Toyota Supra.
Yes.
And you were busy in a Yaris.
Yeah, Yaris GR.
Am I right?
Yes, yes.
You were busy while you were there, just not at Liberty Walk.
No, exactly. I was busy in a good way because, yeah, that was a fantastic event. That will, just to put it in context, you know, we were visiting the GR factory in Japan, the Toyota GR factory. And we got at our disposal with Ayao the test track, obviously, of the facility. Morizo-san, you know, is a very dedicated to driving and testing. And that track, you know, had jumps, had, you know, bank. It was an incredible experience. Honestly, a little Nürburgring like I've never seen before. And we arrived and I remember seeing this Yaris GR Seboji edition, Yaris GR Cali Rovanpera edition, and that Toyota Supra, but last edition, you know, so... You know, it's like heart in my eyes, you know, when I arrived, I saw those car parked there and I was like, can I jump in? I just said, can I jump in? They were like, yes, yes, of course. And I said, but are we driving those? You know, and they were like, yes, of course. I was like, wow, you know, that's awesome. You know, just arriving there and have such a welcome. It was incredible. So, yes, I had to destroy a set of tires.
But did you get air over the jump? Did you do the jump?
I did get air over the jump, yes. I don't know if we have a video of this, but probably. And then I got my first experience of gravel driving as well on a GIRS modified, you know, for rallying, also on the Toyota facility. And Ayao took my helmet. I said, you can go. He didn't have a helmet at first, so I gave him mine. And yeah, we were very impressed with... His wheel effort and yeah, he's very good.
How about you on gravel? Does it feel very unnatural being sideways?
No. I feel honestly I kind of feel more at ease sideways than straight. You know, that's how much, you know, time I spent in drifting. And you know, the car control for me when I've arrived into single seater was something I really wanted to be bulletproof on. And I never wanted, I'm touching wood because if I spin now in turn one, people are going to be laughing. But I've always wanted to be bulletproof on any situation that happens.
This all adds up because you've always been brilliant in the wet, haven't
Thank
you?
Thank you.
No, but you have. So I'm thinking of P2 at Interlagos last year, wet. Monaco podium, wet.
Yeah.
Hungary Grand Prix victory.
Wet to start with.
Wet to start with, right? There's a theme here.
Yes, yeah.
How did you get so good at the whole car control thing?
Well, I think there is a few things in here. First of all, I come from a region which, you know, has quite a lot of rain, you know, Normandy. In my time, there was no wet tires when we were racing in go-karts. You only had slicks with them. So we were driving with that much water, with slick tires, you know, aquaplaning in the straight lines and all of this. But... You know, if you go on my TikTok, there is a video I posted recently where I was doing these 360s, you know, in my dad's garage with the go-kart.
Recently or old footage?
It's old footage from when I was 7.
Okay.
But I've posted it recently. You know, I've always loved, you know, stunts with cars. And to me, putting something sideways, you know, with wheels has always been something that I've loved. That's why, you know, I just like to... You know, go sideways with a front-wheel drive car. You know, that's something that normally you are not supposed to be doing. But if you push the entry enough, get the handbrake at the right time, you can do 3/4 of the corner sideways, you know. And a couple of years ago, I turned up to a drift. Like, it was a drift, you know, meeting with a lot of, like, Japanese cars and BMWs and all of this. And I turned up with my front-wheel drive car, and people were like, you can't drift that. It's impossible. And I did. It was mega.
Is there footage of that? I'd like to see that.
There's footage on my phone, yes. But
do you know what? So you've got your own YouTube channel now.
Yes.
I think you launched it over the winter, didn't you? I've looked at it. It's improved my French. It's also sort of like Duolingo for me.
Yes, it's a little bit of both. That's the thing.
But I think this is an idea. I'd like to see a program of you going to a drifting competition. On the...
That's planned.
Is it planned? It's okay. Planned.
Well, not a drifting competition yet. Might be in the future. But yeah, the plan is to go drifting with some of my friends, show that, you know, on camera. And it's always been, you know, a project that I wanted to do. I love YouTube, you know, because that's the main, you know, TV shows that I look at, you know, all these content creators that can express themselves, take the time to show what they do. I love it. And I thought it was the right time, you know, to be launching my YouTube channel finally. So I've done 2 videos to start with. It's obviously a lot of work and we are busy in the season. The first one was very important to me. I really wanted to show some of my dreams that we managed to achieve, you know, with my dad, you know, in my dad's garage.
That's the one I watched.
Yeah. And the things that we do by ourselves, you know, people would think, oh, yes, he's an F1 driver. He just sends somebody to do it. But no, I do it with my dad. You know, I put the hands in. If we have to rebuild an engine, you know, I will do it with my dad. We modify things. We get it as we want it. And yeah, future, I'm going to be showing a lot more of this. My passion for cars, which is what I want to be showing for sure. And also the mechanical side of it, you know, that I like.
If you're into cars, do watch his YouTube channel.
Because, thank you.
I mean, you've got great stuff. So what is, there's the Corvette.
Yeah, there is. That was.
Can you give me some stats, like brake horsepower, things like that?
Yes, I can do.
Go on, the Corvette.
Yeah, it's like 640 at the moment, stock. It's a compressor V8.
Sounds great.
Sounds mega. And we are planning to bring it to about 800, 850 horsepower with my dad. So on the manual car, that's quite a lot of fun. And we've built a buggy as well.
The buggy as well?
The buggy, which is road legal, which is quite crazy. It's stuck at 100 horsepower. It's about 220, so it's double the power now.
Did you build that?
We did together with my dad. You know, alone, I would struggle. But
that's pretty handy, right?
He's the best mechanic I know. And I've, you know, encountered a lot of mechanics also in F1. He could be working in F1. You know, if he spoke English, that would be, you know, really easy for him to be working in F1. And I'm not saying that because I'm biased and it's my dad. But he's been my main race mechanic in go-kart for years. And I know, you know, how precise, how much love he puts into it. And the thoughts he has behind it, you know, he's not an engineer, but some of the things that people are using in go-kart at the moment, some safety things for the chain, not to jump out of the sprocket, things like that, it's things that he's done himself first. If I knew, we would have, you know, put, deposed the labor thing, you know, for that not to be taking the idea. And we would have get some money from that.
Yeah, but should have patented it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And people are using that now, but he did it first.
Great stories. Also, there is the Ferrari 296.
Yeah, 296 GTB.
Yeah. Oh, it looks gorgeous.
Incredible.
Is that a company car?
Yes and no, but kind of yes. But
what color is it? It's beautiful color.
Yeah, it's a dark red. I think it's Rubino Nero.
Okay.
I think it is. I'm not sure if that's the correct paint scheme. But
and does it have the F1 engine in it?
No.
The V6.
It's the V6.
Hybrid.
But
is it
I
turbo?
Think it's part of the 499P of Le Mans.
Okay.
I think that's the base engine, if I'm correct.
Yeah. You know, how many horses is that?
Too much for the road.
There's actually a really funny bit where you're walking around the front. And you're just looking at the stone chips, lamenting the stone.
It kills me when I see that, you know. Cars are made to be driven, but I've always took extra care of things that I get. And I've been taught that, you know, from my dad. You know, you can walk in socks in the garage. That's also something which I show in the video. And even though it's covered in plastic, the car, you know, with a special sticker on top, which is transparent. It's very painful to see such a beauty, you know, getting stone chipped.
The car perhaps that people listening to this will want to know most about is the Hungary F1 winning car. Yep. That, what did the team gifted it to you? And that's in the garage with Dad.
It's not really a gift. It's a bit more complicated. It was in the contract.
Okay. Yeah.
So they were forced to give it to me.
But it's the actual chassis, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the actual chassis and it's a complete car.
So it has an engine. Yeah. Are you going to run it?
No, it's impossible. I've thought about it already 1,000 times, you know, on how to do. And there are a few things missing, you know, like batteries, like some of the ECUs, you know, are not there because, you know, with time, they would just, first it's dangerous, you know, because a battery without people checking, you know, the voltage and stuff and keeping the battery level, you know, throughout all the cells is very dangerous. So I've specifically asked not to have the batteries.
And you can't run it just on the internal combustion alone?
No, because the turbo is electric. So you need the hybrid system, you know, to be working. I could change the engine and put something else in there, but it's quite sad. And also you need, you know, a full team of engineers, you know, to be starting the car. I need the toolbox to warm up the fluids, you know, all the hydraulics. You need to cool the fuel as well.
You can get all that.
No, I can't get all that. And also now that... you know, Viri is going to become something else. I think it's going to become very difficult, unfortunately, and very sad.
That car, Esteban, must have huge sentimental value.
Incredible. Yeah.
Esteban Ocon is going to be a Grand Prix winner in Formula One. Ocon wins the Hungarian Grand Prix.
Yes, guys.
Well done, mate. You just won the Hungarian Grand Prix. Well done, mate.
Wow, 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 wow.
Every time I step in that garage, I look at the car, I just... Yeah, it is pure love for sure. It's an incredible moment that I've lived to be able to have the car. Yeah, it's... I can't describe it. You know, I have no words. And for people of my entourage also to being able to see it from close... sit in it from outside. It looks so easy to drive, you know, like, you go left to right. Yeah, it's stuck to the ground and all that. But when you're inside, it's a different story.
Do you still sit in it just to bring back the memories if you...
Yes.
It's been done.
Yeah, it's been done. I've sat in it quite a few times, yeah. Just to see if it still fits and brings me back the memories. You know, just the seat, the position, the steering wheel. It's special.
Look, that is a huge memory that goes down in Formula One history, of course, your own history as well. Can I ask you just briefly about Alpine last year? In the journey you went on, I mean, we're talking in Bahrain. I think you and Pierre qualified on the last row of the grid. And yet, 9 months later, you finished second and third in Interlagos. What kind of a journey is that for a racing driver? And when you're driving a car that's uncompetitive, do you ever doubt yourself?
There's a lot of questions in that.
Sorry. Let's break it down.
But no, it's a good question, Tom, for sure. It was an incredibly difficult season, that is, you know, fair to say. But it really shows, you know, how much me, Pierre, and the people that are working on this car, you know, really gave everything, you know, until the last moment. We knew it wasn't a great car. It was a very bad car, to be fair. You know, at some point, we just were, okay, let's give it a go at every single point. You know, opportunities can arise. And all the people actively working, you know, at the factory, on the track, you know, we made the difference at the time that it mattered last year.
Punching the air with delight is Esteban Ocon, who takes his fourth career podium.
Yeah! Woo! Oh, what a race, guys! Yes!
And it was a proud moment for all of us. And I insist with we and the people that have worked, you know, tirelessly because... You know, I've been part of this team for 5 years and whatever happened at the end is not the story of this team. I've been, you know, proud to work with the people I've been working with.
And do you, I don't mean necessarily you, Esteban Ocon, but do you as racing drivers ever doubt yourselves when the car is difficult and you just, you know, you're qualifying at the back and it's like, is it me? Is it the car kind of?
Well, you know, it's important to always put yourself first, you know, like, okay, did I do something wrong? Can I do more? And then we just look at it, you know, and compare it with other cars and, okay, I'm going to try to do what this car is doing just to see if I can do it. Try and carry the same speed, lose the car. Okay, box ticked. You know, that's not coming from me, so we need to look elsewhere. Okay, slow speed corner, take another one, you know. These guys are exiting, you know, in that gear. They are exiting, you know, in that speed with that much, you know, aggressivity on the throttle. Let's try. We overheat the rear tires, you know. So, no, it doesn't work. But to be able to progress, you know, yourself, it's very important to put yourself first and not necessarily doubt, but just to, you know, make sure that you are not sleeping on your merit and on your own talent, you know, because you always need to improve, you know, in that sport. And that's what I've done the whole year. And once, you know, I'm 100% sure that it doesn't come from me or from Pierre at the time, then we just go into that painful conversation on, you know, what are we going to do, you know? Now, what's the plan coming up? And now all of this is history.
If you're a smoker or vapor ready to make a change, you really only need one good reason. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you'll discover many good reasons. Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch brand. Plus, Zyn offers a robust rewards program. There are lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Check out Zyn.com/find to find Zyn at a store near you. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Use Rakuten to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's savings on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. From toys for the kids, to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook, to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love, and cash back is automatically added to your account. And you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're a smoker or vapor ready to make a change, you really only need one good reason. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you'll discover many good reasons. Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch brand. Plus, Zyn offers a robust rewards program. There are lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Check out Zyn.com/find to find Zyn at a store near you. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
I mean, I'm talking to a guy who beat Max Verstappen in Formula 3, right? I guess if you extrapolate this further, I wanted to ask you, why do you race? Is it the lure of success and spraying the champagne? Is it a fear of failure? Is it the love of competition?
I race because, first, I love cars. These are the best cars in the world. And I'm extremely lucky, you know, to drive them as fast as I can. I race because I don't pay for tires or brakes.
That's a very different mentality to when you were karting, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, it was very different back then, but there are very few people passionate about racing that can say that, you know. I burn tires and it's fine, you know, I can just get away with it. You know, I like competition, you know, I like to fight others, I like to have close, you know, wheel-to-wheel battles. Like you, Tom, I guess, you know, we've grew up watching Michael against Fernando, probably you or Senna and Prost.
I thought you were going to say Fangio. But
Fangio, yeah.
You'd be wrong on that.
But yeah, we love it, you know. I'm a lot less fan of all the geek stuff on the background, I have to say. But that has to be, you know, some part of it that you are not as fan of to be able to race properly on track. I race because first I had no choice. You know, that was the thing that would save me and my family, really, if I did it properly. And I'm glad that we did. Now, I don't really have that, you know, thoughts behind it, because obviously everything is okay, you know, on that side. So now I just take it all in. You know, I'm happy to be here. I'm smiling, you know, every time I come to the paddock. And I just love to take the car out and push it to the maximum I can and make everyone in the team, you know, happy when I go and do an overtake in the grass, because, you know, that's how it should be. Yeah.
It's the rally driver in you coming
maybe.
Out.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, do you get as much pleasure out of, what year was it, when you and Lewis crossed the line almost together in Suzuka? It was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you finished P4.
Yes, that was 22.
Do you, 22, right? Do you get as much pleasure out of that P4 as, okay, to use Hungary is probably to an extreme, but a podium?
Yes, I do. It's a shame, though, that I was only a P4, because, you know, there are some races where, you know, you just get more out of the car than ever, and it doesn't pay as much. I'm thinking 2021 Jeddah, 2022 Japan, this kind of races, you know, where it should have been much more than what we got. But yes, we were talking about it with Lewis in Suzuka on the driver's parade, and remembering, he was like, yeah, you were so quick that weekend, and yeah, you were quick in the straight, I couldn't pass you, I was quick in corners, and I was like, yeah, but you still didn't get me, you know. So
your passion for it is shining through. Now, you've been doing this for 10 years.
Yeah, I know, but doesn't matter. Look, Lewis has been doing it for, what, 20 years? He's still the same, you know? And we talk about RC cars. We are just big kids, you know, enjoying what we do. It's not the same for every driver, but it is for me.
Actually, I didn't see any remote control cars in the garage on the YouTube channel, by the way.
Hey, yes, you've missed it.
Was episode two, was it?
No, it was on the first one. I presented the chassis.
Did you?
The RC car, yes.
In French or English?
I think in English, mate.
Oh, my God. God. We're going to have to edit this.
But it was
out.
It was very quick. It was very quick because it was a very busy day, because we had a lot to show and we were figuring out what to show. That will be, you know, another episode probably. We're going to show what a real, you know, RC environment is, because people don't really know, you know, what that is. People think these are toys, but they are, you know, a big engineering thing. They are little F1 cars.
And karting is so expensive now. Can people do RC racing, obviously much cheaper than karting, yes, and get a good thrill out of it?
Yes.
Right.
And you know what? There is, I was talking to Ayao about this. There's a big translation between real world driving and RC cars. If you take Oscar, for example.
He was a national champion.
Exactly,
in
he's
Australia.
Australian champion. And I don't think he's bad at driving, is he?
What is it? It's the fine motor skills.
Well, and Lewis the same, you know, he started with RC cars as well. It's your eye and perceiving what the car does. It's the same as if you put yourself in it or outside it, you know, you are gonna feel what it does even though you don't really feel it, you know. If the car starts to slide, where you have to put the throttle, the line you preempt, you know, where the car is going to go, with how much grip you have. It's the same thing, but in small. And the racing, I've been, you know, a spectator to some of them, championships, like national championships. And
as a Formula One driver, you just turn up.
I turned up and I put a hoodie and just went watching.
I love the thought. You turn up uninvited, so to
speak. Uninvited,
A bit like when you went to the drifting as well.
Yes.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
No pressure, lad.
Actually, you know, you needed the pass to get in. but I've managed to like go in a tree and watch turn one like that.
True tifosi.
Yeah, true tifosi. It was awesome. The cars, they rev up to 40,000 RPM. Not many people know this, you know, for example. But yes, now there is many ways to get into racing. You know, and my ways, you know, it would not have been possible to go in go-kart, you know, pay, you know, a fee to a team and get the go-kart and drive. And I was super lucky that my dad has gold hands and being able to do it all himself, get a used kart, and he was able to make the thing run. But yeah, for half of the price, you can do RC racing. Still a lot of money, for sure. But there are many different categories. And in sim racing as well. Now you can get into that with a lot cheaper than reality. And actually, you know, I'm building something with some very, you know, good people in a sim racing championship. And the winner is going to get a full race seat in a GT4 car.
Wow.
So I'm really proud to, you know, be part of this and to be able to give the chance of some drivers that deserve it and that never think that this would be possible.
So when is that happening?
Like, so that's happening this year.
Yeah. In 2025?
Yes. Yeah.
And then the winner will get a paid-for drive in 26?
Yes. Yeah, wow. He will race for free in a GT4, and he's going to be followed as well throughout his
another
career.
Another episode on the YouTube channel.
That could be as well. Yeah, I wouldn't even think about that, but that is probably going to be, yeah, a big one.
Do you know what? I love talking to you because you are so passionate about cars and racing. And it does lead me to ask this question, though. Abu Dhabi last year, you didn't race. By the way, I think I very nearly interrupted the meeting that led to that. I was in Qatar and I was about to interview Toto and they said, yeah, come to Toto's office. Upstairs in the hospitality, I go in, I'm literally knocking on the door and someone runs and grabs me and says, don't go in there.
Yeah,
so okay. I wait outside and then I wait 5 minutes, 10 minutes and then you come out. And I was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
But look, I don't mean to joke about what was obviously a very difficult time. And for someone who is so passionate, how hard was it for you not to race?
It was extremely hard, for sure. You know, I really wanted to finish this story on a high with the team, but, you know, we can't remake the past. That's how things have happened. And, you know, what was even harder was the fact that I've watched the race, you know, from the hotel.
Did you watch the race?
I did, but from the hotel. And I've never missed a race since, you know, I've joined Formula One since 2016. You know, even when I was reserve in 2019, I was always on site. As soon as there was a car firing up, anyway, I'm there. I'm behind the exhaust, you know, behind the exhaust or behind the wheel. You know, there is no other way. But yeah, I mean, I've decided not to, you know, disrupt, you know, the team's last race at Haas. It was K-Mag's last race with the team and Nico's last race with the team. And, you know, I just let them focus on what they had to do. There was a lot to play for as well. And I didn't want myself to be a disruption of that. So I've stayed at the hotel, watched the race. It was a difficult one, for sure, because it was never supposed to be happening. And yeah, it's not a nice feeling, you know, to be outside of where you should be.
Difficult. I can see that's really difficult. But then you got in the car 2 days later in the Haas and kind of the next chapter started. And then we go into the winter. I feel like I'm talking to you about movies and TV channels a lot on this chat, but you're a bit of a film star.
Oh.
Is that, can we call you that?
Please don't.
Is it Honeymoon Crashers?
Honeymoon Crashers, yeah.
You starred in Honeymoon Crashers, which was the number one French-speaking movie on Netflix.
Non-English. Non-English, not French-speaking, just non-English. It was
so
number
even
one,
bigger.
Non-English.
Sorry, worldwide. I was underselling it worldwide. So the biggest non-English movie on Netflix over the winter starred.
I'm not saying that because I'm part of it. I'm saying that because, you know, the people that played in it, they did an incredible job. And that's why, you know, I'm overselling it. It's not, if I was not there, it would have been the exact same. You know, that would have been still number one worldwide.
Can you just tell us about
it? I was playing Damien. I was playing Damien. Damien, Formula One driver for Alpine. So Yeah. But yeah, I'm a bit of the bad guy in that one. Yeah, I steal the girl of the married star.
You're the honeymoon crasher.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. But no, it was incredibly fun to play in, really. I'm very good friend with the hero actress, who's called Michelle Larocque. She's a big fan of F1. She came to see me a lot of time in F1, in Austin, Barcelona. She will come back this year, actually, to support me. And yeah, she asked me if I wanted to play this little role. And I couldn't say no, you know. Never thought it was going to be as big as it became. But yeah, it was incredible to be featuring in that. And makes me think that maybe, you know, I want to do more in the future, you know, like some stunt driving with cars in movies. Or, you know, I got another friend, actor, who's called Alban Lenoir. He's
he was on the YouTube channel.
Yeah, he's on the YouTube channel.
He's one of the, he's an action.
Yes, much more action-based.
Yeah, yeah.
Loves cars. He's basically the French Vin Diesel.
Do you enjoy the whole process of making a movie?
I do enjoy when it's finished more.
Well, yeah. Esteban, take number 23.
Exactly. Yeah. No, but the amount of work, I don't think, you know, we realize. But I feature maybe, 2 minutes in that movie, playing Damien. But it required, I don't know, yeah, like 2 days of filming, like 2 complete days, you know.
Were you at a track? Or
yeah, we were at Barcelona 1. And then I was stealing the girl at the chapel, the wedding. So yeah, when they told me I was gonna do that, my girlfriend was watching. Okay. Like this. Yeah, it was quite funny because I was hugging the girl, and you have to act a bit. Which
did your girlfriend come and watch?
She did
the filming.
Yeah, she did. It was painful for her, bless her. But yeah, it's. It's very funny.
Amazing success. And of course, Formula One, the sport, is hoping that F1 achieves a huge amount of success in the summer as well. Are we going to see a lot of you in that? Are you aware of the cameras being on you quite a lot over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think that I will feature for sure on track, at least. I haven't seen it yet. We will be in New York as well for the worldwide premiere, which is going to be super special for sure. I've seen the trailer, and I see that I'm crashing with Brad Pitt in turn 12 in Abu Dhabi. So I need to have a talk with Brad about this.
It's only a movie.
Yeah. Thanks, Tom.
And of course, there's the whole Netflix thing. Have you noticed a huge upswing in your global fame over, well, let's say in the 3 years since you were last on Beyond the Grid?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite crazy now. You know, what we're able to experience, what we're able to live. I mean, I was wondering also, you know, should I show that side of my life, you know, on YouTube? But it's less my passion, you know. I don't, it's nice to experience these things, you know, go in the background, the glamour, you know, the Monaco side of things. It's very interesting, you know, as a background, but this is not what I was dreaming for when I was a kid, you know. What I dreamed in is sitting in a car, go-kart, smell the fuel, the tires, the rubber, and that's still the side I want to stuck with. You know, of course, if that sport was not as successful, it would not be Formula One. You know, we put Formula One with how much support we get from fans, and it's incredible, you know, the amount of love we receive every weekend. You know, just coming from Japan, it was insane. But, you know, that's not why I'm interested in, you know, I'm a racing driver, I'm a Formula One driver, but I don't consider myself as a star or Netflix star or whatever.
I think that's the truest interpretation of you as well. You're a passionate racer who does it for that and not the fame and everything that comes with it, I think. Well, it's been fantastic to have you back on the show. Can we end this just by throwing it forward? How much hope do you have for the rest of the year? Where are your ambitions?
Yeah, I mean, ambitions obviously are, you know, we want to keep the progress. We need to get, you know, a bit more consistency in how we've managed to get this car working. You know, it seemed to be a very narrow window. We need to make that a bit wider. But I got a great team behind me, and people are pushing in the same direction that I'm pushing, and it feels great. You know, it's a fresh start for me. I feel good, you know, in this team, and I look forward to the future.
Are you aiming at P6, P7 in the constructors, or are you not even putting a number on it?
You can ask Hayao this. I'm just going race by race, trying to extract the maximum out of the car, and extracting the maximum out of the car every single time is the right aim, I believe, and we'll see where that leads.
Would you like to see the team focus on 25, get this car sorted, or in your mind, are you thinking 26 is the opportunity?
Both.
Right, okay. So, yeah.
You know, the team will know, you know, what to decide. They are on top of this. Ayao is on top of this, on what to decide. But my mind is on 25, and it's normal. That's how where it should be. You know, that's what the team is asking me, you know, to do the best we can this year. But there is a huge potential, you know, in this team. And I know there's a big regulation change next year. And we could be, you know, or not in great position next year. Like everyone, you know, it's reset the pages. Me or Oli, we're not going to be world champion this year. That is very clear. We never know where future brings us. But for sure, you know, we are, as soon as the team is going to ask me, you know, to do some simulator work and development for 26, you know, I'm going to be taking it and try and guide them in the best way I can.
Good luck with that. Thank you very much for your time. Now, I've got one final question, and this is something I'm asking everybody on the pod this year. Formula One is 75 this year. Do you have a favorite moment in those 75 years that you can share with us?
It's a good question, Tom. I have to bring it back to 2006. Magny-Cours, 2006. I think it was Grandstand Adelaide, if I'm correct. So that's the way back in Magny-Cours. It was little me with the Michael Schumacher shirt, the Michael Schumacher hat, and me against all the Fernando fans. You know, that were shouting at me because I had a Michael hat and t-shirt. Yeah, I saw Michael won, you know, that weekend. And that was the first time I saw F1 cars, you know, and I still remember the sound, you know, how loud it was. I remember my dad putting me these little earplugs in the ear, but I was just doing that to be able to hear the engines. And yeah, that would be my first memory.
And was that the moment when your career became clear to you? Was it a eureka moment?
No, it was before that.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I think since I was 4 or 5 years old, I've always said I wanted to become a Formula One driver. That was maybe when I was 7 or 8. If I had already the cap and the t-shirt, you can believe that was, you know, a long time ago that this is what I wanted to do. And it has never changed since then.
Best of luck. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
What an image. 9-year-old Esteban draped in Michael Schumacher merch, watching his hero bring home the spoils at the 2006 French Grand Prix. And he knew, even then, what he wanted to do for a living. F1 was always the goal. Now, this was the most candid I've ever known Esteban. So relaxed and informative. And the take-home message for me is that he's very happy at Haas. He's loving the family atmosphere and the can-do attitude of everyone in the team. Just look at the way they turn difficult situations around time and again. And what about the reunion of Esteban and Ayo Komatsu, who engineered him at his first F1 test all those years ago? Two formidable racers together again. It'll be fascinating to see what they can achieve together. Esteban, many thanks for your time. It was great to catch up, and I'll speak to you again soon. Well, that's it from me for now. Thank you very much for listening, and I will, of course, be back next week with another great guest from the world of Formula One. F1 Beyond the Grid is produced by Formula One and Audioboom Studios. Until next time, keep it flat out.
Okay, only 10 more presents to wrap. You're almost at the finish line. But first, last one. Enjoy a Coca-Cola for a pause that refreshes.